Hey everyone, this is Achyuta Bhava from Nightlight Astrology, and today we're going to take a look at the sun's upcoming square with Pluto, which is perfecting over the weekend. And we're also going to start previewing Mars's square to the sun this week. So I'm going to do probably a two-part series on each of them. These are major transits that are coming through, also right around the time of the full moon. So it's time to get prepared for these transits to visit with us. And you know, they're big ones because of the dynamics of this moon cycle, because of the full moon in Aries coming through, back-to-back squares to Pluto coming into the full moon. So some pretty big stuff on its way. Before we do that, I want to remind everybody, I am in promotion mode right now for my upcoming course, Ancient Astrology for the Modern Mystic. It begins on November 13th. So just 1 month from today, it's October 13th as I'm making this today. And you can click on the courses page of my website. If you go to nightlightastrology.com, click on the first year course, and you will find all that you need to know about the program. There are about 100 hours worth of live classroom content on the year. We have 30 classes, 12 guest lectures outside of those 30 classes, breakout study sessions. You have a tutoring staff that's there year round to help you. Lots of bonus material, lots of extra reading assignments if you want them. Basically, this class is designed for people to go, if they want to go really, really deep, there's a ton of content both in and outside of class and support to help you do that. A lot of people take the program because they want to read charts for others on their own at some point. Sometimes people take it just because astrology is their hobby. So whatever your purpose might be for wanting to go really deep into astrology, the course has a lot there to meet you wherever you're at. In this program, we spend a lot of time talking about the spiritual roots and foundations of ancient astrology, the methods of natal or birth chart delineation that were prevalent in the ancient world. But we also are constantly blending our study of ancient astrology with modern depth psychology and archetypal astrology as well. So it's really a sort of syncretic program. I encourage you to ask questions if you have them. You can email us info@nightlightastrology.com. There's a FAQ section if you have questions on the website as well. But don't forget that you still have a little bit of time to take advantage of the early bird payment, which will save you $500 off. Or there is a 12-month payment plan. And then there's also need-based tuition assistance. So if for some reason you have a really tight budget and you're hurting financially for one reason or another, be sure to check that out. Try to make sure that nobody's ever priced out from any of my programs. So the class starts November 13th. So it's coming up soon. You can take the classes live or follow along on your own time. We record all of the sessions and they're held on a class website with the rest of the material, which you can download and keep. And you have a year within which, after the program is over, to take a certification exam if you want as well. So that's a little bit about the program. I hope to see some of you in class soon. We're filling up more and more every day. Really excited to begin. This is my 23rd group to go through the program. So at any rate, let's bring up the real-time clock now, and we'll dive into talking today about the sun moving into a square with Pluto. Now, I've talked about the sun and Pluto many times before, so some of this for you guys should be review, but it's also, it's really good to refresh on whatever the current transits are and try to get an eye for what they might bring with them, because there's always something new to learn about transits. I mean, one of the things that I like to say to my students all the time is you can never know the basics well enough, because most of astrology has to do with learning not just the basics, but the way in which basic things combine with one another. So at any rate, you can see here in the sky that the sun is in the sign of Libra. Of course, it is quickly moving towards Scorpio season. The sun is in the sign of Libra. It's the first quarter moon that we're dealing with today, about to move into Aquarius later today on October 13th. And the sun is just about moving into the 3-degree engagement range, which is a 3-degree range of application and separation that ancient astrologers consider to be very important. Of course, the outer planets weren't around at that point, but I still use them for the outer planets and they work really well. The 3-degree engagement range will usually give you a really good idea of when things are brewing, and you're going to see events that correspond really powerfully with the archetypal symbolism of the planets in question. So here we have the sun in Libra entering the engagement range with Pluto within 3 degrees. When is it going to perfect? Let's play this out. So here's the engagement range full on by tomorrow, October 14th. By the 15th, it's within 2 degrees. The 16th on Saturday, it is within 1 degree. And by Sunday, it's passing through the square to Pluto. And then Monday, we're on the other side of it. Now, right away, next Monday, we have Mercury stationing to turn direct, Jupiter stationing to turn direct. We also have Mars moving through the square to Pluto next week as well, and a full moon in Aries. So the full moon in Aries comes through Wednesday, October 20th. And then right away between the 21st and the 22nd, we have Mars passing through the square to Pluto. So this week, we're going to spend a little bit of time with the sun squaring Pluto, and then we'll start in with Mars squaring Pluto as well. Maybe we might keep that till Monday. We'll see how things go. But let me just give you one quick, vivid example of the sun squaring Pluto today that we can already see in the news. Now, I happen to be somewhat of a sports junkie in my, that's like my my daily vice is reading ESPN news. And I would say that the biggest news right now is the uncovering of a huge amount of emails containing, some really vulgar and racist language from some one of the bigger name coaches in the NFL football world, and he resigned. His name is John Gruden, and I don't know much about him or much about the, you know, the background of the story or anything, but I immediately said, oh, there's the sun square Pluto. There's Mars square Pluto. This stuff is already boiling. We better do a video because, you know, it's like that it's just starting to come up, and we've got the full moon in Aries, the sign of Mars. I would not be surprised, by the way, just before I dive into this today, if more of those 650,000 emails that they apparently drug up. And this is, by the way, all in relation to the Washington football team. It used to be called the Washington Redskins, and they changed that name because of the racism inherent in it. And as they changed that name, apparently they're doing some kind of investigation, and there's all these emails. And not surprisingly, they found racist language in some of the emails. And so, and more than that, just vulgar, crass stuff in general, and homophobic language, and all sorts of terrible things. And so that is one very vivid example of what's coming, probably more of the same for the professional sports world, probably in the next week or so. I wouldn't be surprised at all to see that really boiling over. Okay, now, why is that though? What is it about the sun square Pluto that brings up those kinds of things? Well, one of the maybe the most classic significations of the sun square Pluto is corruption and scandal, or the revelation of things that have been unseen. See, the sun represents light and what can be seen, and Pluto, what's invisible, what's in the underworld, what is dark or evil, what lurks beneath the surface. Sometimes people try to bring things up these days, you know, as a way of harming other people. Let's look for the scandal. Let's look for the dirt, whether it's politics or the news and media, social media. Sometimes people are looking to smear each other, like a smear campaign. That can be very Sun Pluto. At the same time, a company that's been cooking the books, suddenly the information comes forth that there's been some kind of malpractice, or there's been some attempt to hide some something deeply unethical or something like that. And it's been an attempt to hide it and to make sure that people don't know, you know, what's really going on or something. And sometimes those things will come out. So where Pluto represents the subterranean, that which is hidden, deep, powerful, sometimes dark or evil, and the sun represents clarity and light, and sometimes those kinds of things come to light. Remember, the square is of the nature of Mars, and so sometimes you're going to see hidden things come to light in a way that is confrontational, or that strikes immediate kind of action-oriented response with people. Now, again, the attempt to coerce, manipulate, or like anything like blackmail, coercion, manipulation. I'm going to you know, I'm going to show everyone who you really are, that kind of thing. That's also Sun Pluto. If you're trying to harm someone, if there's jealousy of solar figures, oh, that person shines. Let's see if I can do something to knock them down a peg. You know, that can be very Sun Pluto. So it gets real Machiavellian, Sun Pluto does. And it tends to bring out the worst in people when it comes to greed, power, fame, wealth, the desire to be number one, the fear of other people eclipsing us, stuff like that. So you have to be real weary of that kind of stuff. On the other hand, the impulse to create, where Pluto doesn't represent so much the hidden evil or darkness, but it represents, say, a subterranean, regenerative, primordial life force, and the need to bring it out and let that come forth as a creative expression. Sun Pluto can be like a nuclear blast of creative energy. In that sense, it's very much like the ejaculation of creative life force in the sex act. It's also associated with the primordial release of pent up energy that can be destructive and creative at the exact same time, which is, you know, we see it in nature all the time when stars explode or whatever, the Big Bang, or, you know, that has that kind of archetypal image around it. Also, whenever there is illumination of something that is dark but true, you know, people love true crime stories. You know what I mean? Like this is a real world, you know, like what do they call them? I think they're called true crime stories. I think there was a book I had to read in graduate school. What was it called? I think it was by Truman Capote, and it was called In Cold Blood or Cold Blooded or something like that. Anyway, there's a whole genre of sort of nonfiction, almost documentary style films, movies, or books that have to do with, you know, real life criminals and what's going on in their mind, and to try to understand or get inside the mind of people who do dark deeds or why they do them or whatever the case might be. So that release of understanding within something dark, to understand the depths of the human psyche, to understand the mind of a serial killer, these kinds of fascinations that people have are often very Sun Pluto like. Anytime that there is the death of a solar figure, a CEO, a boss, a king, a leader, a famous person, a NFL head coach, right? The idea of Pluto dragging someone, some chosen one, you know, like, oh, they died too young, or they were just a little too perfect, so Hades needed to like drag them down, you know, and show what's really beneath the surface, the imperfections, the hidden sins, that, you know, like, so. And the, you know, it's very important when Sun Pluto comes around to remain humble, because all of us have egos that can, you know, it's like any of us have been naked in our dreams a few times, you know what I mean? And so there's all hidden sins that we have. There's all hypocrisy that we live with. There's double standards that we all embody. And there's lessons we've learned that we don't want anyone else to know that we've ever had to learn, you know, stuff like that. And sometimes if we forget those things are really like our hidden treasures, because when we keep those things close to us and they keep us humble, they keep us kind and generous, forgiving, gracious. So even if we get good at something, or even if there's a degree of success in our life, that we remember, I'm not above anyone. You know, I've had things deep inside me, thoughts I've had, feelings I've experienced, you know, things I'm not proud of, things I've done, things I wish I could take back, that we keep those things in us, not with guilt or shame about our being, but with the sense that I'm not any better than anyone. And if we don't carry that, Pluto will show up and grab us by the ankles and pull us right down into the underworld from time to time and expose us. is very vulnerable, and Pluto is often described as a kind of violating, almost rape-like energy. And I'm sorry, you know, the word is even triggering for some people, and I don't mean that necessarily literally, but it's spoken of, for example, at length by James Hillman in his book called Dream in the Underworld, as a as an experience of nature like violating us against our will. And that in, you know, psychological terms, there are times when the ego feels violated by life, by others, by environment, and falls victim to forces that are cruel and dark and that want to take something from us. And so, not in a super literal way, but in a kind of a shift in our inner consciousness, it's important to pay Pluto his due. Pluto means riches, and Pluto often delivers riches and power and fame and lots of like very like it's a primordial power of it's an empowering planet on a level. But if you don't pay Pluto by recognizing I have secrets, I have skeletons in my closet, I have things, you know, like if you don't stay in touch with those things and at least on a contemplative level, I have some things, you know, some things that only Pluto sees, you know what I mean? Secrets, darker elements of my psyche. If you don't stay aware of that, it's essentially like you're not paying the toll man at the toll booth. You know, it's like there's all of these crossroads in life, and especially anytime that we're doing well or we're excelling at something and we're not staying in touch, we're not ready for the potential to be humbled or to lose everything or to have the rug pulled out from under us or to have Pluto grab us by the ankle from the underworld. If we're not prepared for even the possibility of those things, it's as though we're keeping too much for ourselves, right? And there's something about that's really important with Pluto. One of the practices I've had for a long time is, so when I was living in New York City, I had like a jar, and the jar was just a big, I don't know, it was like an apple cider jar or something. No, it was something else. I don't know. It's not an apple cider. It kind of looks like an apple cider jar. At any rate, I just started putting coins in it, you know, and just like letting it fill up whenever I had extra change in my pocket. And then gradually I'd put like other random knickknacks in it. Like I had a prayer bead bracelet that broke, and rather than getting rid of it, I just put it in that thing. And so I've got all sorts of like knickknacks. My kids love it. They just love it. They're like, oh, what's all that stuff in there? You know, it's coins and all this stuff. And at one point I was reflecting on all of this with Pluto. And I said, I need to make a place in my house for Pluto, a place that where I recognize all of the broken bits, where all of the riches actually come from. They've come from this substrata of darkness and difficulty and tortured qualities and dark qualities and anything successful that look like it's all in the light. I've done well. I have a family, I have a, whatever. All the shiny elements, right? That they live hand in hand with the darker stuff that don't want to talk about that stuff, you know? And so at any rate, for some reason, I thought you can't cheat Pluto. You know, you just can't cheat Pluto. In fact, I think it might've been around Pluto's conjunction with my moon. I don't remember when this happened, but anyway, so I took that jar and I put it in the basement and I offered it to Pluto. I was like, these are all my like hidden riches. You know, it's complicated stuff, and some of it scares me, you know, and so now whenever I find spare coins around the house, I take my girls down there and we put it in and I teach them a little bit about Pluto, just little bits to help them to get to know the gods, you know, but they love it. They think it's so cool. Anyway, one of the ways that you can make, you know, just a positive connection right now is like, you know, do something similar, find a way of making a little space for Pluto in your life and recognizing there's a whole underworld to my life. And I think back to like some of the crazy things I did when I was, you know, younger. My wife this morning on her Instagram read a poem by Mary Oliver, and it was talking about the kingfisher and how the kingfisher, you know, gets these, you know, grabs these fish and how kind of terrible it is. You know, but beautiful. It's like, it's a part of nature. It's terrible. It's sort of perfect in its own way. And I feel like Pluto's very similar territory where it's like, if you don't acknowledge how powerful a bit terrible life is in nature, the day-to-day world that we live in. It's going to be very tooth and nail. If you don't have some space of acknowledging that that lives in you, if you pretend like you're above it, you're too lofty and progressive or virtuous or whatever the case might be, Pluto will get you, you know? So you just, like, we have to stay in touch with that somehow. At any rate, so I wanted to talk a little bit about that and maybe give you guys an idea to incorporate Pluto, you know, pay a little homage to Pluto. Pluto, the word means riches. The eclipsing of light, the attempt to overpower or overthrow, death of solar figures, stuff with dads and fathers can come up, but also bosses, leaders, leadership, people who want to be on top and want to see their enemies or opponents fall. The hiding of light in the presence of darkness. Sometimes you have to hide your light. This is important. This is exactly hand in hand with what I was saying about Pluto, where it's like, you know, one of the qualities in Bhakti Yoga that we talk a lot about is that saintly people may have incredibly rich mystical experiences, say when chanting or in kirtan or something like that. But they will make sure that they don't flaunt it, that they don't show necessarily. They learn how to hold in the symptoms of ecstasy that they might be experiencing, because they're careful not to try to draw attention and attraction to themselves, because they realize it might be a curse and it could mess them up and entangle them. So it's like, similarly, when you do well at things in life, sometimes there's this feeling of like, oh my God, you know, I'm good at something. And this could be really great. So I got to figure out how to get it out there, how to make it seen, how to make it, you know, like that. And even as a person, you know, person in the business world or whatever, as I've gotten better at astrology, you know, it's like, how do you shine, but constantly working to diminish or contain? Like, I'm carrying a lantern with like a beautiful encasement around it. And it's important that we, not that we hide our light out of fear or shame, or that we don't show people who we are, or that we don't share our gifts, or that we don't shine our lights, you know. But on the other hand, it's like Pluto wants everything to be included. And if the light, you know, if the light doesn't have some understanding of the darkness, if it doesn't carry with it some understanding, if it's not, you know, aware of it on the edges, on the periphery, beneath, and on the underworld, then it's not a real light. And so there's a way in which the hiding of light in the presence of darkness, giving some space for it, is important in the way that we carry light. There's a teaching in the I Ching, hexagram number 36, which is often translated as eclipsing the light. And it's about a mad king that takes over as a tyrant ruler, and the previous court officials, like ministers, maybe an astrologer or something, the previous court advisors to the king from the previous regime who's just overthrown by this tyrant madman are either put to death, or they have to pretend like they will serve this tyrant king. And one of them actually feigns insanity and goes to prison and hides through a temporary act of insanity. So he hides his light until the tyrant is overthrown. And there's a whole teaching in there about biding one's time, being careful with how and when we show the light. Always learning more about that with Sun Pluto. Pluto opposes my sun in my chart right now. And so I feel like I've learned a lot about this in the past couple of years here. It's been a big transit in my chart, and I just learned a lot about it. And so some of these thoughts are pretty raw. They come from kind of my own reflections on that transit, but I would love to hear from all of you. What do you think about the Sun Pluto? Do any of you have this aspect in your natal chart, not just a square, but perhaps an opposition or a conjunction or a strong trine? I'd love to hear from you guys. Use the hashtag grabbed planets as grahas? How are they showing up in our lives and sometimes seizing our consciousness? Share your story with us about Sun Pluto between now and Monday, especially as this transit starts perfecting. And I'll probably do a sharing episode next week when we get more in, especially after Mars Pluto, both Sun and Mars Pluto. I want to tell some stories about those. So be sure to share those. And in the meantime, again, if you're interested in my new course, Ancient Astrology for the Modern Mystic, check it out on my website, nightlightastrology.com, under the first year course page. Love to have some of you guys in class soon to study this stuff. This is, man, astrology every day makes our lives really interesting, really profound spiritual practice to have astrology as a day-to-day source of spiritual nutrition. So that's what I've got for today. I hope you guys have a good one. We'll see you again tomorrow. Bye, everyone.